I'd watch the show.
Recording in progress.
All right, we'll go ahead and call the Public Safety Committee meeting to order for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024 at 6:30 p.m. Tonight we have Councilor Washburn here, Councilor Hancock, Councilor Edwards. Councilor Olson let us know he was not going to be here tonight. We also have Chief Waddell and Deputy Chief Markell. Any changes to the agenda?
No, ma'am. The only thing I wanted to point out to you is in front of you is kind of an updated stats sheet. Eric Markell was gone last week, and the one that's in front of you is somebody else produced those ones, so this is more consistent with what you're used to seeing.
Kind of updated.
Huh?
You said kind of updated.
It's kind of, well, okay. They're very close. there might have been some spelling mistakes and some other things that were wrong with the other one, but we're not judging people.
Got it.
We can't spell either, so.
I can't spell. Normally I would fall on my own sword if I hadn't done that because my spelling is terrible too. But anyway, that's all I got.
All right. Anything we want to go over on this or you wanted to point out or anything?
We can cover it in.
Cover, okay. All right. Any public comment for items not listed on the agenda? Anybody online? I believe it's star 6. All right, we'll move to item number 4, the administrative assistant, the amended job description.
So in front of you, I think it was on November 7th we came before you and before the council, I think, and proposed adding an administrative assistant. At that time, the pay scale was wrong, and there was an agreement between ourselves and the police department and the city administrator to share the funds and share that position. As we now have the person identified and named, it's going to be a 100% assigned to the police department and not shared, and the pay scale shifted downwards. And it was done in a clerical error when it first got posted. That's really what we're coming forward is just making sure that you're aware that we're cleaning up some mistakes that were made and making sure that you are aware that this is a police-only position. It's not necessarily going to be shared.
And so the pay scale, you said, went down?
Yeah. I think we had it posted at 35, and then this is a 43, and it's substantially different, which... But it's in line with what other city employees doing the same job. So.
Any questions, comments?
Maybe it's here and I missed it, or maybe we're just going a different direction. But was this position also going to take care of evidence?
Yes.
I just must be missing that.
I was looking for that too.
It's probably here and I'm just not seeing
it. It may not be in there. There's a long list of things that this person will be doing. Evidence is going to be one of them. And in fact, that we actually get the advantage of having him work over at the police department for a couple of days as we're doing our evidence audit last week.
Is this something that's going to need to be moved to council for approval? Yeah. And then should we add in, because I was looking specifically for that too and I didn't see it.
I'll add it.
Okay. So I think then when we approve it, it's on there. Anybody have anything else? That looks good to everybody. We'll move to item number 5, the PD master plan quote.
So as you're aware, the police department is in various stages of repair, remodel, disrepair. And so I've asked the same contractor architect firm that the city is using to do the community center next door to come in and do it, give us a bid of a full master plan. Part of that master plan is to figure out how we can use the space and do it in phases, so that way we can come to you and say, okay, we want to do this now and then this later. It's just one way of trying to you know, eat the elephant, so to speak. And then, you know, I think that if we were to come as a department and say we need a huge amount of money to fix the whole place at one time, I want to be responsible for the taxpayers and maybe spread this remodel out over time if we can. I'm more than willing if somebody has money to throw at us to fix it, but I think it's better for us to look at our phases, look at what we need first, and you know, kind of, we've already started that process. Fixing our evidence room is the next thing on our list, but you know, fixing the patrol room, getting that fixed, doing the facade, we're kind of already in that process of doing these things in stages, and I think it makes sense for us to continue. As much as I would like to do everything nice and do it all at once, I think that we can do it in phases. So the architect firm is actually has been given direction to come up with a master plan and figure out how those phases would work. So that in front of you is a bid for them to do that scope of work, is to do the architectural plan and to give us all the renditions of what they believe our space would look like. I actually contacted an interior designer, I wouldn't know to say if she's an interior designer, but she does interiors for businesses, and she worked on Washington County's training facility, their law enforcement training facility up in Hillsboro. So she has some experience of what police departments need when it comes to build, you know, heavier duty chairs, because we have gun belts and we have heavier, we're a little bit more difficult on some of our equipment. And we need bigger hallways because we tend to run into things and catch our gun belts on things. And so she has a little experience working in the law enforcement field when it comes to planning, and so the two have actually agreed to work side by side, because the architectural firm that we have here doesn't really have a good interiors. I think that I wouldn't say we would have a good, they just, that's not what they're special at. So that's, this bid includes her advising on this project as well. Any questions?
I'm glad to see it going forward. You know, in the long range, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I definitely think this is the right way to go about doing business. You know, hire the professionals to lay it out. Do we have to have 3 bids, or is it because we're already working with them? That's the only thing that popped into my mind.
The way it was kind of explained to me is that because it's the new, it's under a certain amount, and it's in our probably already the scope of the city's work, because they're already doing stuff.
Yeah.
Your guess is good.
I just can't remember the amount. It's been a while since I've read that policy. So.
I think it's because it's under a certain amount.
I see.
But that's my guess.
Any questions? All right. Sounds good. We'll move to item number 6, budget review.
So this one I didn't really create a nice information sheet for it. I figure it's pretty self-explanatory. Is that you have the kind of proposed budget in front of you for the police department for next year. And if everybody had a chance to look at it, it's going to be with the additional sergeant's position. That we added the 11th sworn position. We're adding back in a administrative aide. We're turning the sergeant that was here but wasn't already on our pay scale. We're turning that position to a true sergeant's position. So budget-wise, we're going to be really, really tight, and we're kind of leaning on that it's going to take us a while to get fully staffed to be able to help us through. Let's tie up our budget. So with the current budget system is we get 72% of the revenues for the city. If we want to add people, we're going to probably have to come to you as the committee to try and figure out some solutions to our, how do we create long-term funding solutions to add bodies. You know, I think most of you are aware that our staffing level hasn't changed in 10 years, but the city has increased its population almost 50%. So my goal is to try and get more sworn officers and staff to help us do the work that we need to get done. But I can only do that if we can afford to pay for them. So I'm glad I can answer some of the questions. And Deputy Chief Markell is here. He's more familiar with the budget, certain things that may have been in those same budget lines, if you have any questions.
So have you done a projection to see how much under budget you're going to be this year? I mean, I see the year to date, but...
It really depends. So when it comes to our wages, it really depends on when we can hire and who we're hiring. Right. So if we go out, if we have some laterals that show up and say we want to come work for Junction City PD, two things are going to happen is one, they're going to be more expensive because they're going to pay based on the years of service, and they're going to try and get them.
Yeah, but even if you started the process now, you're not going to get them until next budget year anyway.
Yes, you're right.
So back to my question, do you know, I guess you potentially are bringing on one or two before the budget stops. Or the new budget starts, correct?
We're going to be really close, yes. Yeah, because the two, you know, we'll get into the department updates, but the two that we're trying to bring on right now, they're still in the background, so they got to go psychs, medicals. So we're still looking at a month before they get on, and then you're pushing maybe June 1st hire date, so they'd only actually be in this particular 1 month of salary in this particular fiscal year. And then that would leave us two officers we're still trying to hire. And then we still have a couple dispatchers we're looking at.
So
I know I'm not answering your question.
Yeah, no, I understand. There's not a one answer for it. Is it safe to say you're going to be under by 10%?
10%. Total budget or just wages?
Total budget.
Closer. Higher than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this budget's going to be super, super tight, to be honest. And we'll have to see how tight. If we hire new hires, they don't cost as much. They take longer to bring on board. They take longer to get solo status. I think I'm not going to intentionally wait to hire to try and save money. I think that we need men and women in uniforms and out patrolling the street more than. And then we can try and trim our budget somewhere else if we need to. But like I said, if we have laterals, there aren't currently laterals lining up, but if we do have some, I plan to try and hire them, and then we'll figure out the budget later. I know that's not the right answer, but
yeah.
You know, in years past, you know, you could just say you have 11 sworn positions, and 11 positions cost at top step, they cost this much. If that was the case, I would know you'd have significant budgets. But we've tried to make this as accurate as we possibly can and say we have these two officers at step two, we have one at step four, we have sergeants, we have a deputy chief, we have a chief of police, and it's all going to impact them. We know what those salaries are. We're going into negotiation year. We don't know what those salaries will be when they come out. Starting July 1 as well, so that's why I said it's going to probably be a little bumpy, but we're going to be monitoring and stay on top of it the best we can.
I have a question on your building maintenance. You got it down to $800. That's on page 2.
That might be dispatch. Let's see. Page 2.
For next year or this year?
It would be for 2024-25.
What page is it?
Where is it? I don't see it.
Building maintenance charge right in the middle of the page on page 2.
Oh, $800. I know one of the discussions has been, and I don't know, we'd have to look at some of these other building maintenance charges.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the next one's only $200. I think that's part of the, and then the next one's $200 for all three. So according to that, we have $1,200 for building maintenance for next year, which probably is not correct. But I know I'm talking about when I was talking with the city administrator and the finance director. I know part of the issue is that we were trying to run through CEP, trying to find some funds to get some projects done in the PD. I don't know if that was why that got moved. I will make a note and get back to you on that.
But then the one below it too, vehicle equipment and maintenance chart changes, you've got that at $4,800. I don't think that's enough for what it costs now to fix anything. It was on the same page.
Yeah. Well, especially when you go from 66,000 to 4,800.
Mm-hmm. Just move the decimal over.
Right. Wonder if it could have been zeros there. But this is rough, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a...
Right, but I'm just throwing...
You're right. I mean, that's obviously not a good number.
Yeah, and one of the things I also would like to do is, and I know at some point in the history of the budget process, they've separated everything out.
Yeah.
The debt, dispatch, patrol, jail, and some of those things make sense that are, you know, and they have an admin charge. So even... one of the things that we're talking about is that there's an admin charge for vehicle maintenance, where I like to see it as a fleet maintenance.
Right.
So you end up seeing these things. Like there was $5,000 sitting in an admin vehicle maintenance, which we've been doing, at least the maintenance that we have been doing on our admin vehicles was coming out of our regular one, because one, I didn't know this other line existed.
Yeah.
So it would help clean it up a little bit if we put things where they made sense. And I know we were trying to figure out putting like a building maintenance that doesn't say dispatch building maintenance, admin building maintenance. And so when I saw that originally, my thought was that they must have put it somewhere else in there. So I'll find that information.
Okay. But you're still right, Mark. I mean, because I had to go through this and mark, you know, what's what. So anything with the 210, basically, it started out as patrol in the middle, and then you go to 220, well, that's dispatch, which is down at the bottom of the second page, and then 230, that's the jail, looking at the middle numbers. 240, this was a police admin account, and whatever that is. And so... anytime I see that many line items and that many numbers, confusion will reign. And so I think you're absolutely on the right path to just combine where you can, eliminate what you can, and get everything down to a minimum number of categories anyway that you can, because this is just all over the place.
Yeah.
So. So on page 3, towards... the upper top, there's a what is it here? Insurance. How come we had we're at zero for this year?
I guess we haven't paid it yet.
Okay, that just hasn't been paid. They have till the end of the...
So, are you talking about the car insurance or the health insurance? Is it the personnel or the material?
It's under the 220.
It's right above labor attorneys.
On page 3?
Mm-hmm. It's about 9 lines down. I think that's what you're looking
at. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have that. Okay, do I have any?
I got one for you.
I put it over here. Generally, like that insurance line, we don't have anything to do with that. Some of these, we don't.
Do you need this?
City has to list the numbers.
How much?
So we, that isn't something we would pay, so I'm not sure.
I didn't know if that was like your guys' insurance, or if that was auto, or if it was.
Well, if it's under $220, it would be under dispatch, so.
Dispatch?
Yeah, I don't know if they're holding the list.
So like, the form that Eric has in front of you is what we're used to looking at, so part of our computers is looking at this form. This is not a form we normally do. This is a form that finance gave us to present tonight. So that's why Eric's looking at a different form that we're more familiar with.
So, in the current budget under tab 7, it says that general fund, basically, your ending fund balance will have to be 15%. And so, I can't do this mentally, but if I add these numbers, because you've got, what, 3,862,200 and 3,519,300. And I think that's coming out to, well, let me just do this mentally, 9.1%.
What'd you say?
Oh, I think it's 9.1%. That's what it's coming out instead of
round
15.
Just round.
Yeah, so, but I mean, honestly, that's an estimate. So
yeah.
It might be 9.12, I'm not sure.
just off the top of your head.
Yeah. So that is an area just to be aware of, because I know you're roughing in the budget right now, but under tab 7 of the current budget, if you look at that, the way that it's written, I think you're at 15%. So take a look at it, because it. I mean, we don't have to do it now. I just wanted to throw it out there that you got to kind of watch that bottom line, right, to make sure that you're carrying over enough money until the taxes come in. But at the same time, it says that the council will update. You know, you're talking about percentages of the general fund, like the police department at 72%. And it says the council will update that every 5 years or so. I don't know when it was spent on last, but that may be something that has to be looked at as well. As to whether or not.
About 2 years.
It's been 2 years.
74 and then went down to 72.
Well, anything that's been written can also be unwritten and changed. So if we just have to see where this road takes us. And I think this is a fairly good first swing at this and see where.
Well, and I think it's important to realize, I mean, you can only be as good as the budget allows you to be.
That's right.
And this committee doesn't create the budget, the beginning fund balance. So I hope that the council is prepared to have real conversations through the budget process.
That's right.
About funding it properly, because right. you can't say we need to add 3 or 4 more people and nothing's gotten cheaper from 2 years ago, and your budget is less than 2 years ago's ending fund or budget. So, you know, I think the beginning fund balance has been a thorn in my side since the day I saw it, because I don't think it was ever accurate in the beginning, and I think that it was passed knowing full well it was never going to be accurate, because when there's two contracts that weren't renewed, they knew they weren't going to be renewed. So I hope that this next budget cycle is the council's digging into that a little deeper to make sure that the police department, this fund is funded properly.
Agree. Yeah, so it says minimum targeted fund balances shall be no less than 15% of next year's budgeted expenditures. So it's the expenditures and the personnel expenses, not the rest of that. So it's just those two categories, but it has in here Viking Cell, community center, senior center, police, court, building, pools, and parks. So the way this is written, I'd read that you have to have 15%, and I do think you're closer to a 10% right now, so that will affect.
And do I have this right? We're starting off with a deficit?
What page are you on?
I didn't see that.
Page 4 at the bottom, is it?
Oh, yeah, the way that's written, police debt surplus and then parentheses deficit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you're right. I hate the way that that's prepared like that. Because the way that I did this, because this is their budgeting form, not really the budget, but basically, if we look at the first page of this, under the revenue, so the very first column there is revenue, and it runs all the way down to that 4,800. What I looked at was that number, 3,862,200, as our revenue stream. Correct me if I'm wrong here, anybody, but this is how I looked at this sheet that was produced. So that's what I see is 3,862,000. And then so that's a positive number, not a deficit number. That's what we're projecting as the revenue for 24-25. For the police department. And then if you turn back to the page you're on, page 4, then you'll see the expense total of $3,519,300, right? And so all I did mentally was divide 3,862,200 into 3,519,300, and that's where I came up with 9.1%. But it's mental, so I'm not sure if it's right. But that's where we should have a 15% instead of a 10%.
Okay.
But if somebody has a calculator and you want to run that, that'd be great. So 3,862,000 is what I see as the projected revenue for the police department. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because this is a new sheet to me, but that's how I see it. Because it says revenue total. So I'm assuming that's everything, because it shows dispatch contracts, school reimbursements, law enforcement grants, contracts. It shows a beginning fund balance of $626,000. So that's what the assumption would be that you're carrying over from this year. And then it shows the property taxes of $2,716,000. So these are all the revenue sources that I believe belong to the police department. And so I think that should be your total revenue, 3.8, and your expenses then 3.5. So
9.1.
So I was right. Not bad. Hey, that's all right. Air Force guy. Getting wrong on numbers, aircraft crash. So
math doesn't lie.
All right.
Okay.
So you're a little bit low. If this policy actually is hard and fast, and how much the question John's referring to, I think, is also very intriguing. Is 15% what you really need as a cash carryover? Would 5% get you there? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, and something else on this year, running year, there's no beginning fund balance in there.
Well, we don't know yet, right?
The one right here?
Starting this year, in his budget, is showing there was never a beginning fund balance that went into the 2.8 million. So 23-24 year.
Was that because we transferred 175,000 out of our budget to courts?
Yeah, and that was a terrible thing.
I don't think, I guess I don't know. I don't think that's the right way to do it if it was done that way.
It was done that way. So, I mean, we're getting into a broader subject, I think, for the council, but we transferred $250,000 from the general fund over to sanitation to buy a truck under a loan, which that means the money comes back to the general fund, but it takes years for that to happen. And so then if we have general fund entities that are short, we really shouldn't be transferring money out of the general fund until, if all the general fund entities are fine, and we have that to transfer, then transfer.
Because sanitation has its own entity to,
Enterprise account.
It's a different revenue source.
Right.
And I think we just did the same thing for water at this last council meeting. And so I don't know if that 250 for the sanitation truck went back to the general fund, and that's the same 250. But, you know, the same thing just happened. $250,000, I believe, that was from general fund. I got to go back and look at the paperwork from last council meeting, but I think we just did the same thing. And so if the general fund is healthy and fine, and we don't need anything, and they've got the officers they need, hey, make the loans, you know? But I think that it's really something we have to consider if we're not okay. And we're talking library, pool, all these entities, community center, and the police. And if they all are thumbs up and we're staffed and we're good, loan the money.
But shouldn't there still be a beginning fund balance for this account?
Yeah, what are we talking about now? I'm sorry, that's kind of how I'm becoming.
If you look at
in my age, I guess, I start
23, 24 year.
Yep.
Beginning fund balance is zero.
Okay.
There had to have been something going into that.
I can tell.
Which would have brought your 2.6 up.
Well, but you're right, we did transfer 175 over to the court. Which, that is a concern, because what you're doing is, you're right, decreasing their ending fund balance by 175 automatically.
Yeah.
So.
I think the beginning fund balance was 716.
That shows for 23-24 total budget, the 716.
I see it. I'm sorry. I read the little.
Yeah, right next to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay.
Budget and then actual. Sorry about that.
Okay. We all do it when it comes to this.
Paper printing.
I think we need to take a look at the piece of the pie and readjust it a little different from what it is right now. Because we are going to need more officers the way we keep growing.
Yeah.
Day to day.
Well, that's right. I mean, so, and Mark, you said first time we increased officers in 10 years, but I went back and it's been 15 or 16 years since we actually had an officer increase. That was the first one in 15 years. Because I can tell by the date I left.
Yeah.
So I had authorization for 10 when I left here, 9 staffed. So we're now at 11 based upon the last one we did. The other thing that I really would like us to think about is with DHS referrals and crimes that occur, I really would like to just kind of put out there the idea of a part-time detective. And I think, I don't know what the union rules are about part-time employees, whether or not they get full benefits or not. It used to be they didn't. They just got a straight paycheck. So I don't know how much that would affect the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could just get a part-time detective, an experienced, obviously probably retired person is what we'd be looking for, so they could be part-time, you know, that wants to supplement their PERS or something. And, you know, I think that would be a tremendous help, but you and I, of course, have never discussed these things, and so I'm shooting from the hip here.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and I don't know, there's a gentleman that we've talked about before that's looking for a part-time work. He's got, I think, 15 years of experience at Albany Police Department. He's spent the last 15 or 20 years at the academy. I don't know if his skill level is a detective thing, but he's looking at coming down, helping us with training and some other things, so part-time. But I also think that a good use of our SRO in the summer would also be to use the SRO to continue doing investigations and helping officers do things. So I would assume, just like most cities, the summers get a little busier here. And so using somebody that's here with experience to train somebody up to be a really good detective. You know, and I was going to mention it earlier, but, you know, we had an officer do a search warrant based on an out-of-state homicide that took place did a search warrant here using our local DAs bouncing things off. So our officers are getting a little experience where they get that investigative experience, but I 100% agree we need to figure out how to bring that kind of level investigative experience to Junction. That could be an option.
Yeah, I'm just shooting from the hip, so I wasn't looking for a solid response on this. Just, I feel like our community, I'm going to talk about the morale of our community. Right now, you're focused on the admin of the department, evidence rooms, hiring people, hiring FTOs, FTEP, all the things you have to be focused on. But the community is going to be a little more focused on, when is my crime going to be solved? You know, when is this person going to be arrested? You know, what's becoming of this? So there's that other half, the other shoe that we'll need to drop. And I know that we can't ask that of you right now. I know that, because you've got to focus on getting the department set up administratively. So I'm always looking for help, right? And so that's kind of what's in the back of my mind, is you need somebody without training, without coaching, who can come in and solve crimes and run and process the scenes and come up with the conclusions as to what took place. Yeah. So.
Oh, and to also have all the shifts covered, I know. I don't think we ever did 12s when I was here, but when the way we did do it, we had like the overlap shifts, and which seemed to work out good. Swing shift and graveyard for sure had an extra body on, but I don't know how that would work with 12-hour shifts, 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. or something. I don't know. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just like to not... I'd like to see at least 2 people on per shift eventually. So, does it mean we need to increase from 72 to... I don't know, because I am not the math person. How much, you know, what would a percentage be? What would 2% be?
Well, I know the discussion has to be above my pay grade on that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's hard because if you, as a police department, if I say, hey, we need some more money, you know, I'd feel really bad if somebody else in the city lost their job because the city needs more cops out there. Because there's obviously we have employees that are valuable and need to be where they need to be. You know, maybe we just need to get creative with how, you know, and I don't know, you know, adding a public safety fee to the water bill or, you know, so I don't like that one because people see that and then they blame the police department every day they look at their bill. But I think in order to add bodies, if we really want to add bodies as a community, we got to think some ways in order to do that. Because I know when you talk about moving the pie, I worry about what it does to our internal dialogue with other departments. And now they think the police department's taking their bodies away and they're taking their people away, and now they're making more work. And I know from what I've been told is that the reason they went to this whole the bucket system was to avoid the internal fighting and competition for dollars. You know, I think I could make a very good argument for why we need dollars, but I also don't want to make that as an expense of other employees in the city. That's not really what I came down here to do, is to start fights with people. So, you know, I think, you know, we haven't even talked about some of the big ticket item needs in the department either. Having an RMS, a CAD system, computer systems that work, some of the infrastructure things that we do with our cameras and all the things that, you know, so there's just not enough of those dollars and cents in there for me to even think about really asking for those kind of things until I know our budget's good and solid and we have funding in place. But, you know, there's things, you know, I use the phrase today is that I want to bring this department to be modernized. And the response that I got was, it just needs to function. Let's get it to function first. And it's just a sad spot is that, you know, I'm trying to shoot up here, and the bar is trying to be set way below me because of what's there, what's currently there. And, you know, what the men and women are doing over there, to doing the best they can, it should be commended. But, you know, so you don't see any of those big ask items in these things because we're just trying to make it balance.
I think back to like what I first said, it's, this is really whipping post of what the budget committee sensed here. But, I mean, something has to change, or people need to lower their expectations. I mean, you can't have both, so.
Well, and like I've said before at some of these meetings and some of the council meetings, we can't put a price on public safety. And so, like, I would like to hear any recommendation anybody has. And I always say, you know, unless it's something that, like, just needs to be kind of shot down, we don't know until we try. And so if that means, and I definitely, I'm tired of taking from somewhere else to give to somewhere else that's hurting. Fix that problem if it's hurting. And, but we're not going to, like, rob from another to give to another. And we need to stop doing that. The city should be a little bit more responsible about taking care of the needs of the public works, the community centers, the police department, the finance department, like, and that needs to stop. And we've taken from one to give to the courts, and now we want to take somewhere else to give somewhere else. And really all we're doing is hurting another department to just get ourselves up where we need to be. There's money there. We just need to budget it correctly. And like I've said before, if that's a problem, then we as a council have some bigger fish to fry. So I think whatever recommendation the police department has, we're not going to get an answer until we ask the question.
Yeah. And you're not in competition with anybody. You've got to express your needs, and we've got to look at it, and then we've got to make decisions and tell you what we can do. But I certainly want you to press ahead with hiring and doing, meeting all of your goals, and I wouldn't want you to start thinking about delaying a hiring to save 1 month's worth of salary because it's make or break. You know, those are pressures that shouldn't be on a chief. You know, when you get your budget, you just press ahead with that budget and do what you got to do.
Yeah, anything could happen at any time, and there's 3 or 4 of us in here that have been in law enforcement for a while, so you know, at any time anything could happen here that could pull every officer in here for hours at a time. We've experienced it, and where we've called everybody out to help out before, we had the entire reserve program out here to help before, and and we were out, I could say, I mean, the one I think of, you and I are on together, and what did we come up with? We were like both on duty for 27 hours straight by the time that was somewhat wrapped up. But, like, it could happen. So I don't want to hold back from anything. I would rather we have the people here, because sometimes you're less likely to have something go big when just the officer presence is there. And, but like I said, we're not going to know unless you bring it up to us and we start asking. And, but I think, yeah, we don't need to hold back. Because the worst we're ever going to say is no.
Yeah.
But that, you know what? That's no right now. It's not no forever.
Yeah.
And I've done that. I do it every day at work. I get told no. I go back the next day and try again. Get told no. Go back the next day and try again. Mm-hmm. And within the week, it works out. All right. Anything else on the budget review?
Yeah. I don't think you're in competition with any of the other general fund entities. I think the real question is going to come down to the general fund itself. And so this is without me doing any homework on this, just looking at it. So if we're looking at 9.6, that's what was adopted. That usually comes in higher than what was adopted. So if we adopted 9.6 and
Yeah, and we, when we're showing an ending fund balance of 3.4, then maybe we just need to increase the percentages from 72 to 73 and take care of it. We'll see, right?
Well, the Public Works should have a windfall right now. They sent out, every house that I owned in Junction City for the last 5 years, I got a water bill for this month.
Every house you've ever owned?
No, that I've owned in the last 5 years.
Oh, that you just currently own?
Or have owned in the last 5 years. We sold three of them.
So you got like a go back payment?
No, a water bill this month. I wish I paid all of them. I wasn't that smart. So I guess it went to a lot of people in the same boat. So they're getting paid 3 or 4 times on a water bill this month. It's called surplus.
Yeah. How do we do that?
Well, I think you're right, though. I mean, without belaboring this meeting, it's one of the questions I asked, which was rhetorical at the time, and it's still on my mind, is the schools figured out how to become part of the permits. And so as this city grows, we're writing checks each month to the schools, and those are not small checks. You're talking 10, 20, or more thousands of dollars each month. And so that's programmatic growth. But we don't do that for the fire department. We don't do that for the police department. And so if the schools can figure it out, I mean, can't we? Isn't there something that
well,
we
can look
at? Well,
the general fund's getting that same deal, though.
In terms that it goes up because we get more homes. Is that what you mean?
That and the permitting.
They do get money from permits, but I applaud the schools. That's forward thinking. They're like, we're going to have more students, we're going to have more growth. And so as you are issuing building permits, a portion of the money then must be going to the schools, because we see that in our each month of our reports that we get. And so it's a pretty significant amount of money going to the schools. But we're not getting anything for police or fire. And I just can't help but wonder if we can't figure out how they did that and look at things like that. You know, I hate to say the word, you know, I think we probably have enough taxes to handle it anyway. But if we didn't, I mean, there are other ways that, like gas taxes and things, you know, that could be dedicated for public safety. Not that people want to hear anything about more taxes. But, I mean, I think to echo what you said is, have we been creative and have we thought out of the box, or are we still doing it the way we've done it since we've always done it this way, this is how we do it? And so, I mean, I, for one, would love to look at what the school model was, figure out how they did that. And as building permits are issued, then there's a funding for the police department, because you're going to have people or a person, depending upon the size. And so what happens with police departments is we have all of this building. Same thing with the fire department. You get all of this building. You generate calls for service. But the funding isn't up front the way that it is for the schools. It actually lags. You never see that initial funding. Not going to get that. So at the end, at the tail end, when it's all done, they're all... the taxes are all coming in, then you start to get some of the money for that for your police department. So you're always behind. I'm talking too much, right? Okay, I'll stop.
You're good. Do we want to move on to department updates?
Yeah. Is that where you're ready to move on?
Yes.
Look at you.
I don't know.
So we do. Good news is that you know, I started here what 7-8 months ago. I started the hiring process. We hired our first person this week that's actually in our building working. I'll probably see if we can get her to come into council and introduce her. But her name is Jody. She's spent 6 years at Central Lane as a dispatcher. Real good pickup for us. She's really active in our community, so she started this week in training. And we're hoping that based on her skills and abilities, it might only take her 3-4 weeks to catch on and start shagging her own shifts. But I have her at least scheduled out a month so that she's for training, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm super excited to have her aboard. And when it comes to our other dispatcher candidates, we have one left in our original process that's in background, and then we collected, what was it, 40-some applications to hire, to do some new hire entry-level dispatchers, and then we were going through them the other day and found that there's some lateral dispatchers in that pool. And so we might just try and sift them out and interview them separately first and then see if we can maybe find somebody in there that will work out for us. Otherwise, we're gonna start another round of interviews for dispatchers. Officers, so we've talked about this before. We have two laterals. One's gonna come on as a sergeant. We've given them conditional offers, which means that they have to pass their background, psychs, and medicals. They've signed those conditional letters, so it means they have intent to work for us if they pass all that stuff. So those backgrounds take three to four weeks. It should be quicker because they're laterals, because you should be able to get that information quicker. But then we have to schedule them into psychs and their medicals. So, like I said earlier, we might hopefully see them like maybe June 1st is where we're kind of trying to shoot and hurry this process along to get there. One's like an 11-year veteran, and the other one's like a 28-year veteran. So some really good experience. One of them is somebody that you guys all know, and then one of them is a sergeant. He's been a sergeant for 8 years in Florence PD. So, but lives in Bonita, so really close by. Officer positions. We have one candidate, I think, one candidate that's still in backgrounds. We've kind of put some of these backgrounds on hold because we're trying to get these laterals on board, and so there's still, I think, one left in our process. We need to open up that process again. But if we hire these two, we still have two more openings. So we need to make sure that we can go out and hopefully advertise more, get some laterals, but we're working on it. As it says here, the sergeant, one of those conditional officers was for a lateral sergeant. VIPs, we did interviews for the VIPs this week. Two weeks ago. We're going to do backgrounds on them, and I think we're going to do our own backgrounds because they're just volunteers. And then get them going, turn them out, and get them going pretty soon. So hopefully I'll be able to report on that sooner than later. Chaplain, I don't know if we've talked about this, but there's a new chaplain in town. She's a chaplain for the Methodist Church. A pastor for the Methodist Church. She has extensive history as a chaplaincy from Idaho and some other previous agencies that she worked with and for. She's offered her services to kind of be the backup to our current chaplain. We're going to throw and do the same background as we're going to do, and therefore anytime that Dave's not available, that she'll be somebody we tag on to, or if there's just a unique experience where maybe a female pastor would be better suited for the situation. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. So that's just another volunteer. Hopefully we'll have them on soon. The administrative assistant, I said, see the agenda item, which we already kind of discussed. But since we're hiring that person from the courts, courts has already hired this person's replacement. That person's now being trained by this person, so hopefully we'll see maybe 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully. And then we'll have a big pile of work for this person to do. But kind of tooting our own horn a little bit, so there were two open spots in the city, and after our administrative assistance process, which had 140 some applicants in it, we took our top six to our interview, our second and our third interview panel. We obviously offered a job to one. We took the other five names and offered them to the city. And those two openings were hired by our candidates that originally came through the police department's process. So they were identified through the police department's process, but they were amazing candidates. So the city picked up some really great people. I'm sure you'll probably be introduced to them pretty soon as well. But it's kind of nice that we were able to share resources and our hiring list to make sure that the best people are found in the city. So, any questions on hiring? Stats, when I created this, they might be a little off, but when I created this information sheet for you, it said 560 incidents this month, 85 traffic stops, 44 citation, 25 arrests for March, and that was as of, you know, midweek last week. Officers have been super busy. Some of the things that I mentioned is that there was a homicide in out of state. One of our officers spent a big chunk of time and effort, wrote a search warrant in conjunction with the out-of-state detectives to search warrant on a house or a location here in town. Did really good work, got the warrant sent off, and turns out that they ended up, that the detective from Washington State needed additional information, and so Eugene PD ended up having to rewrite the warrant, not for what we did, but just because expediency. So Eugene PD wrote the warrant, and they ended up coming out, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday they came out and executed their search warrant here in town. So our officers are doing really good work. They're hitting traffic. As you can see, 85 traffic stops, that's pretty good. You know, again, sometimes they get tasks with things that, you know, like when we have court, for instance, so one of the, we usually have one officer on, and the officer has to come over and do the bailiff work, and so that means that's time that they're not out doing traffic or enforcing, you know, things that are going on in our community. So it's just, you know, one of those things I keep reminding people is that there's only one of us on it most of the England time, and like Andrea said, is that it'd be nice to have two and be able to plan accordingly and be able to work as a safety with people. But ultimately, I think that you'll see it's very steady, the amount of stuff that they're getting into and doing. This handy dandy sheet of what the police officer has done this week or this month. Top five incidents are very consistent with citizen contacts. So follow-ups, I'm hoping that's because I've been telling them to get their reports done, and so they I hope they're doing a lot of follow-ups so that they can get stuff done. The other conversations that we've had internally about things is to make sure when they have a case that to follow up with their victims and follow up on complainants and giving those kind of things. So hopefully that's a sign that we're doing better at getting information back to our people. Welfare checks, suspicious conditions, those continue to be high for us. Looks like this stat says we marked 10 tires for tows, tagged two, towed one. Our initial ones was, it's one of our problem has been is when you talk about an abandoned vehicle, we have a call type, it's an abandoned vehicle, but sometimes they get called in as a suspicious vehicle. Our officers go out and find that they're abandoned, but yet it could be a suspicious vehicle or a parking problem. So sometimes we look at things. So so the stats that are shown in here, it looks like 19 calls or self-initiated activities for vehicle checks. 15 were cited for parking violations. So some of those, we talked about this previously, is that we're trying twofold tactics, is issue citations for this particular violation, but we're also tagging and trying to get cars to move and towed. We had a car, I don't know if it was towed or removed off of 4th and West Front this week, and then I called the city because there was a bunch of debris underneath it. So hopefully the city came out and removed the debris from the street, because we're trying to work in more partnership with them so I can remove one of those vehicles out of the way so that the street sweeper can come in and clean up the debris and all the junk underneath. So it's, you know, just we have to remember to call them and make sure they know to do that. So accountability and transparency, I try and leave this one on here every time we talk. This little cut screen is I've been talking about Frontline. This is kind of just a screenshot of what our dashboard looks like. As you can see that, you know, from year to date, so 6 compliments, 0 complaints, 1 award nomination, 1 use of force, no pursuits, 3 conducts, 0 wellness. We don't use wellness yet, that's something we can turn on. We just don't use that category. I think it's worth talking about the award nomination. So Sergeant Serrano was listening to the radio. A medical call comes out of on an Amtrak train coming through town. That was somebody was having a medical emergency on the train. Not a police call, but the sergeant decided he was going to head that way. Gets there before medical, finds out the person's having a severe medical emergency, ends up performing CPR for minutes until medical can get there, and then happened to be on the top floor of the Amtrak train, and then this person needed to be picked up and carried down. And so I get there about the time that we're having to carry the person out, and fire department just said how amazing job Sergeant Serrano did and probably maybe saved this person's life. So we tend not to do follow-up to see if the person truly lived, or but it's the life-saving, the attempt to save someone's life that I think is important, that our officers are out there. And, you know, he didn't have an AED because he rushed in without it, didn't know what he was getting into. There's where that second officer would be awesome to be able to say, hey, I need an AED, come here, because as close as our fire department is and how quickly they can respond inside the city, we're out and about and we always have an AED in the car so we can get there real quick and help out. So I'm not saying this could have been better off if we had the AED. Maybe a shock would have been advised. Maybe we would have known quicker what we were dealing with. But so this program that we have is a way that we can contact, we can document the good things and the bad things that are going on in the department and making sure that we're showing that we're correcting behavior that we need to correct, but we're also acknowledging amazing work that's being done out there every time we can. So I just wanted you to see what the dashboard looks like so that you know, you talk about things, but you guys will never see it. And so hopefully someday that we'll have a whole pool of data that we can bring forth and show you exactly how this program's working and what we're doing to fix ourselves. So training, I did get an opportunity to go to the Oregon Executive Dental Institute seminar last week. It's a really good program. This is the second time I've attended it. In order for it to be used for my next level of certification, it has to be taken within 5 years. So it was such a good thing for me last time. I decided this was the better option than going through the 2-week DPSD management class. So this one it's all about networking with other executives from other agencies. It's about problem solving, things that are going on in your agency. You help them with their problems, they help you with yours. So it was a great training. The deputy chief and the sergeant attended, I think it was a 3-day Northwest Leadership Conference that was in Portland. Officer Marler was selected to be part of the county's crisis negotiation team, and he started training, I think they're on Wednesdays. Wednesdays or Thursdays, so he's started to train with them. Here in a couple weeks, Officer Marler and Officer Green will go off to a fire and instructor class, so we had to go find 1,500 rounds for each of them for their class. So we needed to find 3,000 rounds. Luckily, they came in today. SRO Janet Deckard is still going to classes, receiving training on child abuse investigations and the internet crimes. We're hoping to get her part of of the county's ICAC team that's going to be hopefully stood up if it already hasn't been, and then get her to kind of go along as an observer for a while until she has enough skills to be part of the team, hopefully. Something we're still trying to find and get people in is our FTOs. We're finding out that none of our dispatchers are FTO trained, so we now have a senior dispatcher being trained by someone that's never trained anybody. And they're So both of our dispatchers that are working are doing the best they can to get Jody trained up, but it's, you know, it's when you have an FTO that's been through FTO training, I could say, okay, a four is your standard, your 10-year, your veteran standard, and they know what that means. And anything above, below a four needs a comment. Anything above a four probably should have a comment on it. And then you need to document this and document how you're training, why you're training, the importance of what you observed. It's so we're just part of it is just outload. Part of this front line is also DOR stuff. So getting people used to doing the DORs, making sure that they're done every day before they go home. So it's a process that we're looking through both on the user side and as the admin side, because there's an admin flow chart that needs to be followed as well. So we're working on getting all that done. And so as soon as we have officers to get trained, we'll start using it for them as well. If you haven't seen it, the front of the building facade was painted this weekend. So it's blue stripe, blue accents with what's kind of a bright white. We added some dental molding up to the top, kind of give it a classical look, at a classical feel. We're waiting another five to six weeks until the blue awnings over the windows get here, because we had those custom made to put over there to kind of. It's not going to be directly in line with the awning that's on the existing police department, but it's going to kind of keep that theme of having an awning. But I think it looks pretty sharp. We might end up having to bring the painters back, because if you look really closely enough, they didn't seal the nail holes like they should have. They're sealed, but the putty that we used in there sunk, so you can see every single. So we might have to bring them back. I know they probably don't want to do that, but. I think it will make it look really nice if they do. Other than that, building, one of those things that we're working on and trying to get on the county on the agenda is, which we've already presented here, was the evidence room. So if I can get on the council's agenda, eventually I'll come and ask him for hopefully some money to finish our evidence room. It's just the agenda is pretty full, especially this time of year. So stay tuned. Hopefully we'll get that in front of council soon. I guess I did cover the two big events that occurred in the city. I actually wrote it in here. I just forgot that I did that. And then it says March stats here. If you guys have any questions about anything that you saw on there. Anything in departmental updates?
Mm-hmm. The only one I had is, just one student issue.
One student issue. It all depends on how that gets labeled in our,
Right.
I have no idea what that would be.
Okay.
A student off campus, it could be she's at it. Janet, our SRO, is dealing with calls all day long at the schools, but sometimes she actually calls it in, and sometimes she just handles it without calling it in, which is very super common for SROs not to track what they're actually doing every day, because it becomes difficult for them. But so I don't know what the student issue is. Do you know?
I don't know what that specific one is. So a lot of times, if it's a harassment or something, I'll change to harassment. But it started out as a student issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go on to the agenda forecaster. I just realized I have two packets in here.
That's probably the
issue. Is that why you guys were short? Or?
Well, did everybody get two packets? Because it just.
Yeah, I got two packets. I was like, wow, we got a lot to talk about, and then I realized there's two packets.
I might have made those when I said some cough syrup or something.
All right. Anything anybody'd like to see for future business that's not already on here? The evidence audit was completed?
We're still one day away from getting it done. Sorry, I didn't mention that anywhere in here. I should have, it's important. This week we had, last week we had evidence, people from personnel from Eugene PD come in and do a full evidence audit where they looking at every single piece of evidence that we have. And making sure when it's taped, make sure we still have documentation that's here, make sure it's supposed to be here. They're helping us with some procedural stuff to make sure that we're not making mistakes moving forward. They originally thought it would be 3 days. They ended up using 4 last week, and then they need one more day. So they'll be back here on Thursday to hopefully finish our evidence. So a lot of things that are in our evidence that we need to get rid of because of their time, and cases have probably been adjudicated a long time ago. It will take us some work. I know people don't like to sometimes when they talk about firearms in your evidence room, so we have to come up with some procedures because we have a ton of firearms that most agencies just take and destroy. Some of those have some historical, there's at least one of them there that's a historical firearm that we should probably think about, but it's going to take someone to go in there and look at each item and decide if it has value or not and see what we should do with it. With all the new laws in the state of Oregon about moving firearms from one person to another, I don't know if we can do that, but I think that we should look at each piece of evidence that we have and see if there's value and see if there's something that we could do with it other than destroy it. So I don't know if it's the right thing to do. It's just I feel like that's something we need to dive deeper into. But there's also, when it comes to money and drugs and stuff like that, some of that stuff needs to be destroyed, or most of the cash that we have in our evidence gets turned into an account, right?
The bank.
So we actually don't really have a lot of money inside of our evidence. But anyway, we're working on, as we discussed it previously, the money that it would take, we're paying $450 a month for, or close to that, for that trailer, and to move it over into our lot to keep it inside of our somewhat secured defense line would be about $5,000. So hopefully when we start talking about the evidence fix or evidence rooms inside the building, that we kind of keep what we're paying monthly and over time to try and get it fixed, is that we know that there's a long-term solution for our evidence issues. So just popped up there and I thought we should talk about it.
Perfect. Anybody want to see anything else on the agenda?
I don't know either.
I do have an update on the JCPD range. If you guys want to hear about that.
Yeah.
So as you know, the range exists. We used it once. We're probably going to use it again as soon as we get 2 new people on. We're going to take them out and get them certified, get them qualified in with our guns and that kind of stuff. But future plans is, one is it's too close to the housing. Mr. Knope, city administrator, has asked us to look at maybe moving the range further west. City-owned property is already out there. It will take some expense to do and to maintain, but what I also did in the meantime is we need to figure out what kind of space we need. Is it worth looking at adding more than just one range, adding a 100-yard range? Is there a need in the county for a multi-agency range where we could actually make something that other agencies would come to us? Because we have something that the whole county law enforcement community needs. So I reached out to every department head in the county and said, hey, what are your needs? What are you currently doing? And if you're interested in having part of this discussion, let me know. So multiple agencies have reached out and said, we're looking for options. If you're not Eugene and you're not Springfield and you're not Lane County, they have their place and they're fine with it. But the smaller agencies that don't get to play at the place that they get to play at. So, you know, so just, I think it'd be nice to try and figure out, at least have the discussion of whether or not JCPD needs to have one, and if we do have one, how do we share? How do we make sure that it's safe, that it's up to, it's up to code? How do we make sure that it's being maintained and everything that we need to do with that range? So those are discussions that are, that might take us a while, but I just wanted to make sure you know that those discussions are going. You know, it could be that we find an option that just makes more sense to do something elsewhere. It's a very unique thing to have as an agency. I'd hate to give it up just because we have the houses are coming too close. You know, but if we're going to have it, we need to figure out how to use it, and we need to keep it busy.
Range was there first.
So, what was that?
The range was there first, Greg. The range was there before the houses.
Yes.
Kind of like the shooting range over in Florence.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Exactly.
That was right in the city at one point, right?
Well, it is now.
They had out there where, you know, you could shoot trap and all that, and everybody's complaining about it. Well, wait a minute, it was there first.
Yep. I think that's the downfall to every range. And, you know, you build somewhere close enough where people can get to them, and then houses get built up around them. Tri-County Gun Club was a big one up in outside of Tualatin, and between Tualatin and Sherwood. And if it wasn't a law enforcement range, it probably would have been, because it's considered a training facility. So if it wasn't designated a law enforcement training facility, it probably would have been shut down already. Mm-hmm. So, anything else?
One quick, did you ever get the light bars and all for the truck?
Yep.
Oh, the lights are on the truck, yeah.
They are?
Yeah. We're missing two lights. I talked to the guys at Wireworks. They held them outside. I just need to go up and get them put on. It says it takes about an hour. Other than that, it's done. It looks really nice. You can't really see them, so they're kind of, it's not meant to be an undermarked car, but it's also meant to not draw super attention to itself. We're trying to figure out, you know, to get bed liner put in it and that kind of stuff. But they did a really good job. We took the Gray Charger. Side note, we took the Gray Charger up there. The Gray Charger center console wasn't secure. You know, I don't know if we should mention it here, but what was going on is that the predecessor to me told some people that they needed to go out and get that thing fixed and get ready to go on patrol. And so we used officer manpower hours to wire a patrol car instead of being out there. So we were using labor in-house to get some stuff done. And I know it's trying to save money, and I can see where that happens, because I was going to say that I use some labor to try and help with those lockers. So things do happen, I get it. But the Wireworks looked at that and said, you're lucky that you're alive. I said, you're lucky that the fires didn't take place. You're lucky that the console, if you got in a crash, the console didn't fly up and smash you in the face or knock you out. So they got things somewhat fixed. It's going to cost $6,500 to rewire the whole thing. So saving money one way, but then you're going to end up having to pay for it later.
Maybe you have some folks that could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric's free tomorrow. Yeah.
Right.
No, and so it's just, you know, when you want officers to do officer stuff, you should have them do officer stuff. If you want people to do other things, they should do other things. And, you know, I know we talked about vehicles and how pricey they are, but we have to be able to budget in the wiring, the cage that goes inside, the radios, the cameras that we're putting inside of them. So it's not just what you look at, go down to the Guarantee and look what the price of a Tahoe is. There's so much more that goes into them, and part of it is just educating people and understanding price of cars are expensive. But sorry,
I guess on the pickup, do you want to just put in a spray liner in it?
I think so.
And then are you going to put a tonneau cover over it too, for that way you could keep evidence dry if you had to?
I haven't thought about that. I also thought about a canopy, but we also use, we use that for bikes.
Right.
So, you know, so trying to figure out what, in all transparency, in a year or two, I would like to come before you guys and ask for a community service officer. And I think this truck would be amazing for them. So I'm trying to figure out ways to build it out for them, which would be having, you know, like storage on the side so that they can get their items out, leave the center open for bicycles or for tables or, you know, so the things that I probably are going to do to the truck are going to be in line with what I think a CSO might need.
Yeah, because I've seen one of the new, a friend of mine has a new pickup with that new tonneau cover on it, and you can't even get into it.
Yeah, they're super
and
secure.
And it locks and everything.
100% right. My brother has the same thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Is it a F-150 or?
It's a Silverado.
Silverado, that's yeah, right. Okay. Do we have that on our agenda forecaster for a community?
No. I can write it.
Just to keep it on there, so we keep talking about it.
Kind of like your gun range?
Yep. And look at where we are today. All right, any...
I don't have anything else.
Did you talk last... I was gone last meeting. Did you talk about Officer Wisdom?
Did I? Not last meeting.
So... This started back at, well, Chief and I were talking about it shortly after you got here, about some recognition of Chief Whetstone that was killed in line of duty. And I had remembered some conversation prior with Chief Cahill, and he tried to get that off the ground 5 or 6 years ago. So we reached out, we thought maybe we could get it. We wanted, well, you had an idea of making a plaque or something, a park bench or something like that. And then we kind of circled back to, and not to give up on that, but the Fallen Officers Highway recognition. And so we reached out to a handful of representatives in February, trying to get it in the short cycle for this legislation, but we were too late. So Representative Conrad reached back out to the chief. He wants to sponsor it. Actually, all of them want to sponsor it because it looks good for them. But I think Representative Conrad got back to us immediately that he wants to bring that forward so we can recognize, dedicate the highway to the south of us here. So that's in the works. It's not nothing a function of this. It's not even a function of the city, really, but just so you guys know what's going on. So it'll be next year before they get that. So.
Oh,
that's
great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it really has everything to do with the chief and, you know, Cahill, because they, well, you as well, you also brought it forward, so. You know, we'll get across the finish line.
You know,
we'll get it across the finish line.
I mean, it sounds like you're going to make it happen, so that's really...
It's going to happen.
Yeah, and I did collect some pictures so we could create the like that 3D plaque that hopefully right in front of the police department, that, you know, try and figure out a way to just honor the sacrifice that was made and then put it in a place where people can reflect. I think it's important that people reflect that a sacrifice was made. And the people that are currently serving, they risk their lives every single day as well. So, you know, we're gonna get things done and moving forward on it. And hopefully, there's multiple ways in which we can honor the sacrifice that was made. So,
anything? We will go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 7:55.